good. I've got it green. I'm on. Yes, God is good. We'll say it even louder. I'll say it again. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you. That was wonderful. The goodness of God. The goodness of God. Thank you, Jesus. It's lovely to be here. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Grace, and I'm married to Tim, who's an elder here at this church, and we have three children here, Daniel, Lois, and James. And it's a real pleasure to be here today. It's actually a real pleasure just to be in here, because usually I'm in the creche or in the cafe trying to settle one of my kids, so it's actually quite nice to be here and to see all your lovely faces. And today, of course, it's the family service, so it's going to be all about what the kids have been doing in Sunday school and bringing that to you guys. So Daniel was saying to me this morning, saying, "Mummy, there's no kids' connection, so are we all going to the big church?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "No, actually, Mummy, kids' connection's coming to the big church." I think, so that's the way it's going to be around this morning. You've all come to kids' connection, so welcome. It's good to have you, and we can all learn something today. So, what's in a name? Sorry for the deja vu. If you were at Women to Women on Thursday night or Friday morning, that's how Debbie started. And I had to laugh to myself because I'd already written my notes, and I'd started with the same words. What's in a name? Names are so important. I wonder, does anyone here know, well, hopefully you know your name, but does anyone here know their name and what it means? Does anyone have a name with a meaning? Hannah, what's your name? Well, I know your name. What's your meaning? Favor. Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Matthew. Gift of God. Oh, wonderful. And you know, we're really blessed in this church because Pastor Hugh always does our dedications and tells us the meanings of our children's names, and they're so special. Do we have any more? Did we have a shout from the balcony? Sorry? Princely. Princely, Robert. Oh, yes. You own that name. I like it. We own our names, don't we? And I've got a name, Grace, which is quite easy. So Grace means grace. But it's so good to be called something that I need, because every day I'm reminded that I need God's grace. So it's good to have our names, and it's good to know the meaning of our names. And in the Bible, as Debbie told us on Thursday night, for those who were here, Bible names are hugely important. They're not just a name that the parents like the sound of. They're actually a bit of the job description sometimes. Jesus, his name means to deliver and to rescue. And he did that. And there's so many rich Bible names. And there's also times in the Bible where God changes names. We love that. We had Abraham. Abraham meant exalted father. That always makes me laugh a wee bit because for most of Abraham's life, he had a bit of a problem, didn't he? Do we know what his problem was? For ages and ages, he was praying, "God, please give me a child." And did he have a child? And his name was exalted father. He must have been a bit like, "Right, hi, I'm exalted father. Where's your kids?" It would have been a wee bit of a shadow hanging over him. And then one day God changes his name. And he must have been thinking, "Yeah, God, about time, this exalted father thing, it's getting a bit of an old joke." And God changes his name to Abraham. And he says, "I've given you a new name, and your name is to be Abraham." And Abraham means father of nations. You're not just going to be an exalted father, I'm making your name bigger. So sometimes God just stretches our name beyond even what we knew. So, boys and girls, who have you been learning about in Kids Connection? Who have we been learning about? He's got a great name. What about you? Thank you, Daniel. Yes, Daniel is not just a special name to me from the Bible. If you were listening at the start, Daniel is a special name to me and my family. But yes, they've been learning about the Bible hero, Daniel. Wow. Does anybody know what the name Daniel means? I've got a wee boy here who I know knows what his name means. Does anyone else know? Well, we'll ask you, Daniel, since you've got your hands up. What does Daniel mean? The Lord God is my judge. Can we all say that? God is my judge. What a name. God is my judge. That's a big name. That's a big name. It's all very well me telling you that Daniel's name means God is my judge. But maybe you're thinking, well, what does that mean? God is my judge. That's a bit unusual. I know you know what it means. You're going to have to pipe him down because he'll do this all the way through. Okay. God is my judge. What's a judge? I'll give you a wee bit of action. Boys and girls, what's a judge? They do a bit of this. A judge in a court of law, and they say, what words would they say, Samuel, in the court of law? You are guilty or not guilty. That's right, Samuel. That's the judge that we know. There's also other kind of judges with their trousers up high. What kind of judges are they? Does anybody know those judges? The X Factor judges. And they say, what do they say? You're good or you're rubbish. So a judge makes a judgment. A judge decides, guilty, not guilty, good or rubbish. A judge makes a decision. And actually, boys and girls, and mums and dads and everyone here, I think there's more than just the judges in the telly and the judges in the courtroom. We get judged a lot, don't we? Has anyone ever told you, are you really good at that? They're making a judgment. Or has anyone ever said, those shoes are rubbish? They're making a judgment. We can be up against judgment everywhere we go and with everything that we do. So Daniel's name is God is my judge. So how about God as a judge? Let's have a look what the Bible says about that. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14, it says, God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether good or evil. God sees everything. There are no secrets from God. God sees everything about you and knows everything you do and think. And he is your judge. He's qualified, isn't he? He's seen the full picture. There's another verse in the Bible, Isaiah 33, verse 22. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king, and he will save us. Now that's a good judge. He's not just the one who knows everything about you. He's the one who wrote the rules. That's the lawgiver. And he's the king. He's the boss. And the last bit, so beautiful. He will save you. He's not standing there like Simon Cowell with his jeans up high, trying to make you feel good or feel bad about yourself. He's there with his heart's desire to save you. He doesn't judge you to condemn you. He judges you because he wants to see you saved. Thank you, God. He's a good judge. So when Daniel has his name as God is my judge, he's deciding whose judgment matters. There's all sorts of people looking to judge, but he's deciding God is my judge. That's the judgment that's going to matter to me. Proverbs 29, verse 25 says, the fear of man lays a snare or a trap. A snare's like a trap. The fear of man's a trap. But whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. When you choose to make God your judge, you're saying, big no to all the other judgments that are placed upon you. You're saying, I'm not listening to those other judgments. I'm listening to the judgment of my God. That's the only judgment that really matters. That's the only judgment that's going to stick. Because it's the only judgment that matters for all of eternity. And that's what I'm listening to. Fear God and be free. Fear man and be bound. You choose that. And we've sang songs about that today. It was like Gabrielle already knew. He's good to us. So Daniel's name, God is my judge. And you know, actually, see when Daniel goes to Babylon, do we know this, boys and girls? When he went to Babylon, they tried to change his name. They said, we don't like these Hebrew names. You're in Babylon now. You'll be Belteshazzar. And you know what? When you read the book of Daniel, you don't see him called Belteshazzar once. See, if you take the name that God gives you and you say, I'm sticking that on, I'm keeping that one, all the other names won't stick. I don't know if you've been called other names. Actually, I think you probably have, because there's very few people in this life who haven't been called names at some point. But see, if you've got God's name on you, the other ones just won't stick. The other judgments won't stick. The other names won't stick, because it's God's name that sticks. So Daniel lives up to his name, doesn't he, boys and girls? We've seen it in his stories. He lived for God. He didn't care the cost, and he lived up to his name. And we want to live up to our names. Now, I know some of you might be sitting here thinking, I don't actually really know what my name means. Or you might be thinking, I know what my name means, and it's not like a prophecy meaning. It's not like a go out and save the world meaning. In fact, I actually looked this up. I had a bit of a laugh. If your name is Caesar, hopefully not. If your name is Caesar, your name means long hair. It's like, okay, right, well, long hair. If your name is Calvin, bald. Sorry, you just hope that's not prophetic if your name is Calvin. Or, of course, if your name's Courtney, short nose. So sometimes your names can just mean fairly ordinary things. But I've got wonderful news for you today if you're not really into the meaning of your name. God has given you names. And we sang them there. Highly favoured, anointed, blessed, called. And I've actually got a wee slide there about names that God says you are. So if you're a wee bit low on what your name is or what your name means, or you just don't know, have some of these, because these are all for you. You are wonderfully made. That's what the Bible says about you. You are loved. You are created with a purpose. You are His delight. You are chosen. You are royal. You are special. And Jesus says, you are mine. Isn't that wonderful? Have those names. So the story of Daniel, let's get into it. It starts with an evil king, Nebuchadnezzar, and he wants to be king of the world. He's not happy just having his own wee kingdom. He's like, I want that kingdom and that kingdom. He wants to build an empire, and he's actually quite good at it. He gets himself a good big empire, and then he's sitting in his palace one day, and he thinks, I could do with a few more helpers around here. I've heard there's some clever people in all these kingdoms I've taken over. And so he sends his servants out to gather in smart, handsome, young men who are from royal families. He wants the best of the best from the whole wide world. So we're going to have a wee exile here this morning, if you're up for that, boys and girls. And I would like all these beautiful, handsome, smart, young boys and girls to come round the front into my exile, if they're up for it. Come on. Just a few. We need an exile. There we go. There's a handsome young man. Come on into exile. Come along. Come along. There's room for you all in the palace. Come along. Come on down. I see you, handsome men. Have a seat here on the floor in my wonderful palace. All the men. And well, it was actually all the men in the Bible, but we can have young, beautiful, handsome, clever young women as well. Come and join us. Come into exile. Oh, wow. I've done well here. My palace is looking good. And there was men and women, and well, men really, that he took, young men that he took from all over the world. And they would have been a bit scared, I think. They were far away from home, maybe spoke different languages, maybe didn't know each other. But in amongst those exiles, we all know, there were four men who followed God. Can I have four men who follow God? Can I have four volunteers from among my exiles? There we go. Oh, there we go, Lloyd. Right, there we go, lads. Well done. Come on up here. Here we have. Right. I love that. I love that quick volunteering. Here we have. Can I have Daniel here? This is Daniel. Can we remember the names? Oh, it's tricky. What were their names, the other three? There we go. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Someone's been getting a lot of Daniel at home. Anyway, so we've got Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Welcome to the king's palace now. I've taken you to be king's slaves, but he was taken to be slaves. And then the king said, these are going to be important people in my kingdom. I'm not just giving them the scraps. I'm giving them the best of the best. They've come to my palace. They're going to eat my fine foods. And he brought out his fine foods. Now, a wee bit of poetic license here, people. Just bear with me. Oh, Percy pigs. Percy pigs from the table of the king. Oh dear. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You hate Percy pigs, you've picked the right role. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were from the land of Israel. They followed God's rules. And actually, in those times, God had pretty strict rules about what his people were to eat and what they weren't to eat. And so Daniel knows that's not God's rule. That's not God's rule for me. And there's a verse in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. It says that Daniel resolved not to eat the food. Resolved is a big word, but it's a great word. Resolved means, I don't know how this is going to end, but it doesn't end with me doing that bad thing. Resolved means he settled in his heart. However this plays out, I don't break God's rule. And you know, that's such an important one for us. See, when you're in a difficult situation, boys and girls and all of us, when you're faced with a big dilemma and you actually haven't got a clue what to do about this one, just start with that. Start with that resolve, right? I don't know how this is going to play out, but God's rule, I'm not breaking that. And Daniel had that resolve, and he went and he spoke and he said, and he's respectful. He's a polite man, and he says, I really don't want to eat that. Can I have permission not to eat that? And the guard says, if I don't give you this special food, the king will find out and he'll think you're awful skinny and he'll say, oh, I'm going to kill that man. He's not taking good care of these men. And no, you just have to eat it. I'm sorry. So then Daniel has another approach. He says, actually, do you know what? Here we go. 10-day test. And he says, me and my three pals for 10 days, just give us veg and water. And after the 10 days, have a look at us again and see who's the healthiest, us or them. And you know, when I read this time, boys and girls, the Word of God's alive. And sometimes you read a story you've read 100 times and something pops out and you're like, I never saw that before. And that happened to me this time. Because there's no mention of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego volunteering. Daniel goes up and says, please can I not eat it? And then they say no. And then he goes back and says, actually, please can me and my 4 pals not eat it? I wonder if they were a wee bit like, well, you know what, I'd quite fancy about that. We don't know. But Daniel was happy to be the pal. Daniel was happy to be the pal. Now hear this, boys and girls, who stood up and said, we don't do that. In my house, we don't do that. In my house, we don't watch that. In my house, we don't talk like that. He wasn't afraid to be the guy that did that. And even as an adult, it can be hard to do that. And he was able to be that kind of friend that holds your friends to account on their highest possible standards. I've got friends like that and I love them for it. Sometimes I cringe, but I love them for it. They've walked me out of cinemas. They've switched off televisions in front of me because they love me enough to hold me to my highest standards. And you want friends like that. And that's the kind of friend Daniel was. So Daniel said no. No to the king's food and no on behalf of his friends. And so they were all offered some nice, healthy vegetables. Here we go then. 10-day test. On you go, lads. It's edible. You'll look fantastic. There's an escapee, Percy Pig. That'll not go to waste, I can tell you. And in the meantime, for those 10 days, all the other exiles were fed the fine food. There we go, the fine food of the king's table. All the best. Enjoy. There we go, you've made a good choice to be an exile. And you get, oh yes, I can see that. In fact, I'll give it to Shona. Shona can administer the fine foods of the king's table. Thank you. Oh, how are we feeling, boys? Let's see the muscles. Oh, yeah, that's it. That's it. And you know what? 10 days later, the guard came to do his inspection, and he looked at those. I can't believe he's actually eaten them. Well done. He came to look at them, and he said, wow, look at these guys. They're the healthiest, strongest, smartest men in the whole group. Too right, exactly, Logan. And God blessed them. Because they made that decision for God, God blessed them. Thank you, lads. You can have a seat now down with the rest of the exilers. Thank you very much. Now, you've all done very well, boys and girls, listening. So we'll have a wee break in our brain now because we're going to move on to our last wee thing we're going to learn about Daniel today. But we're going to start out with a quiz. Do we have a quiz? Wonderful people of the sound and technical box. So, Daniel had, oh, it's all ready for us. Hold on, Daniel. Hold that thought. Hold that thought. So, the other thing we're going to talk about today is how Daniel was a bit of a superhero. Because Shona tells me that you're going to be learning about superheroes in Kids Connection. And the women this year, we've been doing lots of superhero stuff. Superhero stuff is great. And Daniel is one of our Bible superheroes. So let's think about the superheroes that we know. So who have we got here? We've got the Hulk. What was the Hulk's superpower? Strength. Super strength. Right, well done. Let's have some more. Daniel, you keep quiet because you'll get them all too fast. Next slide. Let's see who else we've got. Who have we got here? I've probably got the logo wrong. Hands up. You can tell me whose logo this is. Yes, Samuel. Well done. And can you tell me, Samuel, what his superpower is? What's his? He's like a human spy, didn't he? Like climb up walls and stuff. Now, next one. Who else have we got? Whoa! Hands up. Yes. Superman. And what were Superman's superpowers? There are quite a few. Flying. Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you very much. He could fly. X-ray vision. He was pretty cool, wasn't he? Let's have a look. Let's see who else we've got. Who else? Oh, you might need your mummies and daddies for this one because this is you wished. The Flash. Oh, they all know. I thought that was out of date. It's the Flash. Speedy running. Well done. Next one here. Oh, who have we got here? Batman. What is Batman's superpower? I struggled a bit with this. What could Batman do? You're right, actually. He didn't really have a super. He's just pretty. He just has a lot of money, actually. Anyway, there's the wild card. Who else have we got? Who's this one? Wonder Woman. What can Wonder Woman do? Oh, a lasso, yeah. And she, I think she's got a bit of the super strength. She can probably multitask as well. So let's just give her some credit. And who else have we got up here? Oh, last, I think this is the last one. Who have we got? Captain America. And what could Captain America do?
Use his shield.
Yeah, he can like throw his shield really fast, can't he? Super strength. Yeah, there's a lot of super strength in there, isn't there? He is super fast, yeah. So well done. You've done well in my superheroes quiz. Well done, everyone. So the thing about a superhero is they've got superpowers, yeah? Okay? So if Daniel's our Bible superhero, what's his superpower? Well, let's have a look at Daniel chapter 1, verse 17. It says that Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. Wow. That's quite a superpower. I don't know if you've ever had a wacky dream, but Daniel could understand and interpret dreams and visions of all kinds. Let's have a look at where Daniel first gets the chance to use this superpower. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 1 to 11, I'll paraphrase it a wee bit for the kids. So, right at the start of his time in Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar wakes up in the middle of the night. Oh, I've had a terrible dream. He didn't know what was going on, and he calls in all his advisors and all his magicians. He says, tell me what my dream means. But actually, I want you to tell me what the dream was and what the dream means. And all the advisors and the magicians look at each other and they say, are you joking? That's impossible. Nobody can tell you what you dreamt. Why don't you tell us what you dreamt and we'll tell you what it meant? And the king got furious. He says, no! If you can't tell me what my dream meant and what my dream is, then I am going to kill you all. You're no good. Everyone's going to get killed. So the news gets sent around all of them, including all the exiles. The whole lot of you are for the chop because nobody can tell the king what he dreamed and what it meant. Now this news gets to Daniel. But Daniel has a superpower, doesn't he? What's Daniel's superpower? What can he do? Being good, he has. That's a good superpower. What can he do, Daniel? Recognize dreams and visions. So... oh, good. Well done, Daniel. So, does Daniel get a superhero? You'll have to hold on. I'll be saying, I thought I'd put a cape on since we're doing superheroes. It's a super Dan cape. There we go. So, does Daniel get his cape on? And does he fly into the king's palace and say, this looks like a job for Super Dan? No, he doesn't. But he does go and speak to the king and he says, give me a bit more time. I thought he'd have been able to do it straight away. But he doesn't. He says, God, give me more time. And do you know what he does? He gets his pals and he goes and he gets down on his knees. And he prays. And he prays. And he prays. And his friends pray. And do you know what? God gives him that answer. He gives him that answer. So then he gets the cape on, right? And then he charges in. He goes, this looks like a job for Super Dan. Does he? No. He does go in to meet with the king. And the king says, all right, I've heard that you can tell me about my dream and what it means. And what does he answer? What does he say? Does he say, yeah, I'm the one. I'm the superhero guy. No, he doesn't. He says, no, actually, nobody can do that. But, and this is a wonderful verse, Daniel chapter 2 and verse 27. No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king what you've asked. No one can do that. You've asked the impossible. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. Isn't that good? That's it. Daniel didn't own the superpower. He knew the superpower. And God gave him that gift. Boys and girls, do you know the all-powerful God? Do you know the one who created the heavens and the earth? Do you know the one who has given you gifts and wisdom for this generation? I know you do, and I know you're learning about him in Kids Connection. And we love having you here today. We love having you here. It's wonderful to have you here. And we're actually just going to take this opportunity to pray for you guys, because we all need prayer, but These guys are living in a Babylon. Our schools and the communities that they're being born into, it's hard. So we just want to take this opportunity. I'm going to ask Pastor Hugh to come and we're going to pray. If there's kids still in the seats, we're praying over for you too. It's not just the exiles. We're going to pray for you all that God would bless you and equip you. Thank you.
Amen. Fabulous. So what we'll do is we'll pray for you guys. And I think what we'll do is we'll go on our knees, eh? If you want to go on your knees, you can do that. Because I think there was an example before us that the best posture for prayer is, if you can't go on your knees, don't worry about it. That's okay. But if you can and you're a leader here, maybe you want to go on your knees in the aisles and stuff like that. And we'll just cover these kids. Grace is so right. We need the superpower of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's so much going on in our world today that is so wrong. And only God can make it right. So well, let's pray. Okay. Let's throw the canopy over our children this morning of love. That can just be our outstretched hand, if nothing else. Father, we love you. Jesus, we praise you. Holy Spirit, we need you. We thank you for what we've heard today. We thank you what grace has deposited into our children this morning. And this is not a pun, but we know that it's by your grace that we are saved. It's your grace that makes a way for us to be different. And I believe that's the emphasis of everything that's been said. Lord, you've called us out of darkness into light to be different. Not to be the same as this difficult world we're living in, but to be different. And we know, Lord, we as adults have a responsibility to these children to be role models and to be different. So they see Christ in us and so they want to follow Christ for themselves. So we thank you, Lord, that you have put your Holy Spirit, your power in them. And we pray, Lord, for protection. We pray for guidance. We pray for even understanding in their ears as they begin to grow up into teenagers and go beyond that. We believe, Lord, that you're raising up children here who in a few years from now will be men and women of God who are making an absolute difference and who are not deviating from the course that you've put them on. They're not deviating from the truth of your word, but they're living according to the plan that you have for their lives. And we thank you, God, that you've a plan for every single one of these children today. And it's God's plan and it's God's way. So we pray in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit would enlighten them and their eyes would see and their wee ears would hear what God is putting into them, Father. So we're looking at them and we're looking ahead and we thank you, Lord, that the potential that's just sitting here around this church this morning is monumental. It is massive. Lord, you just took 12, there's more than 12 here, and turned the world upside down. So take these little ones that are loved and thank you, God, for the education and training they're getting, not only in school, but here in this church. We thank you for what Grace has said. We thank you for Shona and Fiona. We thank you, Lord, for the team, Lord, that is investing. And we know there'll come a return on that investment. So we pray blessing and covering. We pray moving forward. We pray for momentum in the young lives. But again, we pray for we have a responsibility not to let that down and not to come up short, but to continue in our homes to live out Christ to our children and to our children's children and to our children's children. We pray blessing on the word we've heard that's in by the Holy Spirit. Now cover these children. Take them on to the greater things that you have for their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, guys. You can return to your seats.